In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So this day, the Sunday after Pascha, is called Antipascha, meaning instead of Pascha, not in opposition to Pascha. Because on this day was instituted the celebration of the resurrection for every Sunday of our church calendar, even during Lent. Every Sunday is a celebration of Christ's resurrection. Today is also a commemoration of Holy Glorious and Laudable Apostle Thomas, called the Twin. This disciple was not present when Christ first appeared to the disciples. When Christ came among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." By the way, this is the same peace that the priest gives to people throughout the service. It's not my peace that I give to you, but Christ's peace that he gives through me. When the disciples told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, he would not believe him. He said, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and place my fingers in the mark of the nail, and place my hand in his side where the spear pierced him, I will not believe." He had to see and touch. Christ came again and visited his disciples. This time, Thomas was with them. And having shown himself to Thomas and invited him to investigate his resurrection, Thomas cried out in faith, "My Lord and my God," proclaiming both Christ's humanity and his divinity at the same time. Now this is a real answer, a great example of an answer to the prayer, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." I think Thomas wanted to believe, but he found it difficult. "Help my unbelief." And Christ did. Now, some people give Thomas a really hard time. And I think that in doing this, sometimes we get Thomas a really hard time. In doing this, we forget that Christ had planned this. Christ is our all-knowing God, who could have chosen any time to appear to his disciples, yet he chose a time when Thomas was not there. And he did this so that Thomas would question, so that he would have an opportunity to show his resurrection in truly in body, not just as an apparition, not just as a spirit, not just as a vision, but really, his body risen from the dead. He gave Thomas that opportunity to prove not only to himself, but to the entire world, to us, that he is truly risen. His whole person. Now, Thomas had another time when he got left out. He was also not present at the repose of the Theotokos. All the other disciples were gathered together, bid farewell to their dear mother, our dear mother. But Thomas was once again not with them. He showed up 3 days later, and wishing to say goodbye, wishing to honor her, they all went to the grave, and they discovered her tomb empty, allowing her bodily bodily resurrection to be known to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. Glory to God. Glory to God for Thomas's witness. Now we're very careful, at least we should be, to not call him Doubting Thomas, as he often can be called. He's the apostle. On our icon in the back, it's labeled the touching of Thomas, not the doubt of Thomas. Wouldn't it be horrible if we were, each of us, if we were known by our own Thomas? I'm going to pause so you can run through your shortcomings and the nicknames you might be given. It's not our worldly attributes that are important. In John's Gospel, Christ promises that we will have troubles. All of us. But he assures us of his peace in the knowledge that he has overcome the world, the troubles of the world. We have all around us such a great cloud of witnesses, all the saints, with many and varied families. We have our patrons. If we were to continue on with naming people after their failings, we would have Peter the denier and Paul the persecutor. But instead, we call them the foremost of the apostles and the teachers of the world. So we read from St. Matthew in the Orthodox Gospel. We could call him the tax collector and the thief. But instead, we call him the holy, glorious, all-lovable apostle and evangelist, Matthew. Because that's who he is. We could have Mary the harlot, but instead we call her Venerable Mother. Venerable Mother. Because that's who she is. We remember another saint today. Saint Christopher, the martyr of Lycia. You know that we have two priests whose patrons are celebrated today. Father Tom and myself. And Father George's patron was celebrated earlier in the week on Monday. Now, Saint Christopher was described as having a fearful countenance. He was described as being dog-faced. And sometimes, erroneously, his icon has him with the head of a dog. This is not a good icon to celebrate the saint. Because we don't acknowledge saints by their shortcomings. Certainly not by their appearance. But we remember St. Christopher rather as one who carried many safely across a raging river, including a small child who was weighed down in the sins of the world and was revealed to be Christ. Or we remember St. Christopher as the one who resisted the temptations of the harlots and instead converted them to the faith. Or remember St. Christopher, the Christ bearer, as the one who bore Christ in his heart, enabling him to endure martyrdom. So following the example of the scriptures and the lives of the saints, we too must stop identifying ourselves and others by shortcomings, but by what God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives as we unite ourselves with him more and more. We have been given life in Christ's resurrection, a new hope. So let us move forward in that new hope rather than be held back by our previous or current faults. We've all experienced struggles. We've all tripped along the way. Some of us more in number and intensity than others. But if we are to be with Christ, we cannot let this incapacitate us, these struggles. But like the blind man who was blind from birth, who practiced patient endurance and faith, so that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We also need to acknowledge that we are not finished masterpieces, but works of progress. And as we are, so are all those around us. We must give space for God's grace to work in our lives. Brothers and sisters, critical and malicious comments about others, to others, even if they're true, show a lack of trust in what God can do in their lives. And it hinders whatever progress God may be working in them. And just as I have hope in God's loving and transformative power in my life, I need to have the same hope for those around me. And rather than look for their failings, find Christ in them. As Christians, we must allow each of us, as Thomas did, to go from doubt to faith, from health to healing, from sin to sanctity, that each of us may glorify God and his works might be made manifest in us. Through the prayers of St. Thomas, St. Christopher, the prophet Isaiah, and all the saints, have mercy on us. Amen.